This morning, the passages of that I'll be speaking from are from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1 will be 18 to 31. And in this passage, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's speaking to them about wisdom and strength, where we draw our wisdom and strength from. And we in the world, we like to think that we are wise or that we are strong, that that it comes from within ourselves. But God never chooses wise and strong men. He builds wise and strong men. He never chooses them. And in these passages, they may be maybe a blessing for those who maybe feel weak and discouraged, but also for those maybe who are proud that they would be brought down low, to know that and humbled by the word of God. So if you have your Bibles, let's read at verse 18 in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world, of the world, to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, whom became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Whenever we take up our Bibles, I believe that we are reading God's word. And we need to be careful when we read it, we take it with reverence, and recognize that this is God's word to us. This is a book that has power to change a person's life. I know personally I have been guilty of reading God's word unfocused, just quickly going over, much like this morning when I was just reading the bulletin. We can read it very quickly and just glance over God's word, missing what God really wants to say to us. God wants us our obedience and focus on him, to share with others, to know that God's word is given by inspiration of him and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So before we read God's word, we need to be in prayer that our minds might be rightly focused on Jesus. Paul says that the message of the cross is the power of God to those who believe. The word is powerful to change the life of those who seek truth. Romans 1, 3 and 4 says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, the Son of power, by the resurrection of the dead. The word has power to bring a dead person to new life, to take a sinner from the life of sin and to give new life. Also in Romans, we read in Romans 1:16, it says, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." But we notice that the power of the word which is changing us, who we are being saved, is foolishness to those who are perishing. And the word of God divides the believer from the unbeliever. It divides the church from the world. But the cross does not divide the saved people. The word wants unity apart. The world wants unity apart from the cross, apart from Jesus. And it is seeking it today. They think that they will attain this peace and unity through their intellect and social programs. But this is what real foolishness thinks. We can't attain anything without God. God laughs at that attempt. Paul, quoting from Isaiah 29:14, says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." You see, the foolishness of God is still wiser than any man. The weakness of God is still stronger than men. In rejecting God, the world thinks that they can go against the Creator and bring about peace another way. But it is just the Tower of Babel all over again. And instead of scattering the people, God will bring judgment, for his salvation has already been given through his Son. Rejecting the Son, there is no salvation apart from him. Paul divides the people into two ethnic groups, Jews and Greeks, meaning Gentiles. The Jews represented the religion, and the Greeks who sought wisdom within the world. The Jews felt that they had the truth, and they did, as far as the Old Testament. But they changed the word of God into a ritual, and therefore denying the power, they could not recognize Christ coming to earth. Rather than turning to the scriptures, they asked for a sign. If you turn with me to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and in verse 38. It gives an account of this. "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with the generations and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Indeed, a greater than Jonah is here," meaning Christ. "The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with the generations and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, there is a greater Solomon here." The Lord Jesus is giving an Old Testament accounts and gave the sign of the resurrection to those who are religious. And to those who sought wisdom, he tells them that he is wisdom. The only way to reconcile these two different groups is in Jesus. He brings both Jew and Greek into one. This is the power of God, the power of his word, reconciling his creation to himself. It is the work of a benevolent God who shows his creation who he is and reaches down to change the hearts of all sinners who repent of their sin, no matter what race or ethnic culture. The world is trying to accept all cultures and religions and to bring them all together as one, but it will not happen, for the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. It is funny and ironic to think that the science that the world uses to disprove God is God-given and would be impossible for us to understand anything about our world if it were not given to us by God. You see, science uses past experiences to hypothesize what will come about. And we can use this testing ability to test new things. There is order to it, like in creation. But if you really didn't, did just come about from nothing, then how could we use science to test anything if chance is ultimate? And we could not trust anything because the world would be constantly changing and evolving into something new. We can test new things and know things because we have a great and awesome God who wants to show himself to us through his creation. In verses 26 to 29 of our text here, Paul says, "For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You see, it is not the great man that brings about the word of God, that brings change, but the man that is used of God, who he makes great. Abram was unknown whom God would make Abraham. It would make him great, so that the greatness would be evident as coming from God and not from man. Repeatedly, God rejects the mighty and violent men and chooses those who are peaceful. Esau is said to be a skillful hunter, but his brother, Jacob, is the chosen one, for he is a peaceful man and a shepherd. Genesis 25 and 27 says of the two boys, "So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field." We would say probably a man's man, probably, or maybe a man from woodlands or something like that. He's a hunter and a farmer. See, but Jacob, while was a mild man, dwelling in tents. That doesn't seem like a very strong person, dwelling in tents. I don't know if I'd want to be known as a man dwelling in tents. Yeah, doesn't seem like a really strong person to me. Maybe it might be something equivalent to like maybe a city slicker or something like that. I don't know. Although the world despises shepherds and looks to warriors for security, God does not look for what man seeks. God chooses the foolish and the weak of the world to confound the powerful and the wise. So when the weak and the foolish succeed, all the glory might be directed only to God. And in verse 30 and 31 we read, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You see, Christ is our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption, that we may not glory in our own glory, but that we might glory in the Lord, that he has worked in us, through his Holy Spirit, strengthening us, that we are not strengthened by our own, but through Jesus alone. May this be a blessing and an encouragement to each and every one here today.